I've got a trivia question here. Who were two Bible characters, two individuals taken alive by the Lord? These two individuals did not taste death, accordingly. Who are they? Enoch and Elijah. How did Elijah go to heaven? In a chariot carried by a whirlwind. Whirlwind, okay. Now, before the Lord took Elijah, he instructed him to anoint Elisha to be his successor as prophet of the Lord. And before he followed Elijah, Elisha went home and asked permission to inform his parents that he will be in full-time service of the Lord. Elisha's parents may have wondered, what about the oxen and the plowing equipment? At that time, when Elijah went to Elisha, Elisha was plowing the field with 12 pairs of oxen. And so it means he was driving a pair, and the 11 other pairs, they were driven by servants, perhaps, or hired hands. And when it says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20 to 21, let's read this. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. Took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and give it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Do you know how much one bull, the price of one bull back in the Philippines? Magkano isang yung kalabaw? Isang umaabot siya ng 30,000. Umaabot siya ng 30,000 sa Pilipinas yan. Depende sa laki ng bull or sa klase ng bull, but average 30,000 or we'll say kung sa Canadian dollar more or less $1,000. And so that 24 bull, that should be $24,000 na kanyang pinakain sa tao, ay binigay sa tao. When Elisha slaughtered his oxen and cooked them using his plowing equipment, the plowing equipment, kanyang mga araro, mga ano pa nun, mga po, mga kahoy, so they use that as panggatong. Thank you. Panggatong or para maluto yung mga karni ng baka nila. In that exhibited, when he did that, it that exhibited this firm decision to serve the Lord in full time. How is that? He gave up his secular livelihood and embraced God's plan for him. Apparently, he respected his parents when he informed them about his decision. So he returned to his father and said goodbye. And respecting parents practically exhibits that believers have faith in the Lord. Let me repeat that. Respecting parents practically exhibits that believers have faith in the Lord. Now, hold on to that and I'll explain further. Joseph's faith in the Lord was far stronger than his brothers. Among the children of Jacob, Jacob may have observed that Joseph was the most respectful son, so that Joseph became his favorite son. The life story of Joseph, this is a biblical proof that blessing is included in the Lord's command to respect of our parents, to respect our parents. Blessing is included in the Lord's command to respect our parents. Now, Joseph was not selective. He was not selective of showing respect. His brothers hated him, but he did not take revenge. Instead of his father only, Joseph settled all his brothers together with their families in the best part of Egypt. The best part of Egypt during the severe famine. Not just in the north end, it's in the best part of the city. What is the best part of the city? San po ang best part ng city? It's not in downtown. I don't think you like downtown but that much. How many times have you been to downtown since you came here? I think I would go to downtown once a year. I would rather go to Garden City than downtown. Anyway, let's read verse 27 again. Now the Israelites settled in Egypt, in the region of Goshen. They acquired property there and were fruitful and increased greatly in number. Goshen was the best part of Egypt. If you look at the map, the Goshen, there are streams of water, rivers and springs and brooks. Water was abundant in Goshen, and probably the grass was greener. And the Israelites were shepherds, and they also multiplied numerically, and they acquired lands, and they settled in the region of Goshen because the land was conducive or favorable to pasturing livestock. And the Israelites have many livestock. The term settle, it presents us the idea of permanent residency. You want to be permanent resident of Egypt, so they settle there. And why will the Israelites not settle in Goshen when they became productive and they increase in number? Dumami sila ng dumami. They've got more children, they've got more grandchildren, they've got more livestock. And they may have intentionally disregarded their plan of returning back to Canaan because of that. Interestingly, before they settled in the region of Goshen, the brothers of Joseph were very confident when they told Pharaoh, "Oh, can you allow us please to stay in Egypt for a while?" They were not thinking of long-term residency in Egypt. They said, let's remember Genesis chapter 47, verse 4 to 6, it says, "We have come to live here for a while because the famine is severe in Canaan and your servants' flock have no pasture. So now, please let your servants settle in Goshen." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you, and the land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen." You just imagine the brothers of Joseph were standing before Pharaoh and they were telling this, "Oh, Pharaoh, can you please let us stay for a while?" Pharaoh might have been just nodding his head or just listening or doing anything. But after that, after they finished speaking, Pharaoh ignored what they said. He did not respond to them. He didn't bother to ask, "Why do you plan to stay in Egypt for a while?" He didn't ask that. Instead, he ordered Joseph, "Let them settle in Goshen." And Joseph did as Pharaoh told him. Is it strange that Pharaoh desired the family of Joseph to live in the best part of Egypt? Such decision, did God move the heart of Pharaoh? Or was it Pharaoh's way to show appreciation to the service of Joseph? Maybe. Or did the Israelites realize later that they had no control of their destiny when they eventually decided to have permanent residency in Egypt. Joseph's brothers may have planned to return to Canaan, but they changed their mind to settle in Goshen eventually because they have prospered, they have multiplied, and most often we approach life like the Israelites, don't we? Now, we enjoy our Christian life. We love to praise the Lord. We love to thank the Lord for what He has done. But we just cannot forget our old lifestyle. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. Let's read this together. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, to put on new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That is our goal of becoming Christian, to put a new self, to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, to be holy like God. When the Israelites relocated in Goshen, Joseph gave them a new life. And when they became productive and they multiplied numerously, they decided to settle and have permanent residency in Egypt. At first, they cannot decide on staying in Egypt for a long time. At first, they were thinking, oh, we'll just stay here. And everything goes well, then let's return to Canaan. Why did they say that? For sure, they have memorable experiences in Canaan before famine. And maybe they expected that Joseph may. Now, when we came to Winnipeg the first time, the first 5 years I struggled of appreciating this city. Everything was good, better, far better than the Philippines, but to see Winnipeg as very flat, if you live half of your life in Baguio City, you would miss those green trees, the up and downs of the terrain of Baguio City, just as Brother Dan. He struggled with that, I believe. He loved Baguio City. It's really tough. Same is true if you live in the lowland and you go to Baguio City. That's really tough for you. Or you stayed here in Winnipeg for a long time and then you want to transfer to BC or in the West and you find it, oh, I like Winnipeg more than here. And I believe that was what they were thinking when they came to Egypt, the brothers of Joseph. Or maybe they expected that Joseph may take a revenge of their cruelty toward him. Maybe they were thinking, we are here, so we cannot stay here. Maybe Joseph will punish us eventually. You know, Joseph is very powerful here and we cannot do anything. Similarly, we also have hesitancy to follow Christ completely because of the guilt brought by our sins. We just cannot believe that God has completely forgiven all our sins. Do you think that your naughtiness in your younger years, God has forgiven you? Or do you feel guilty when you remember those escapades that you had before? Why can we not accept fully, completely, that the Lord has forgiven us? Is it because we find it hard to forgive others? It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, let's read this together. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. How much do you sense God's forgiveness. When you sense God's forgiveness, did you fully accept that He has forgiven you? That is the requirement when we forgive others, when they have done things against us. The meaning of sin, to sin is to miss godly perfection. Kaya sa Tagalog, ang sin is kasalanan. Nagkasala, nasala, na filter. Sala is filter, right? And you miss that. You are filtered. Pag sinala ka, mayroon pa rin naiwan. Ayun, kasalanan. Human effort falls short of godly lifestyle. If 100% is the godly lifestyle, the perfection that God requires of us, we may reach 99.99999, very little inch, percentage of an inch before we reach that perfection. Still, it's not perfection. We still miss it. We still sin. But when the Holy Spirit in us, the Spirit of Christ, convince us to admit that we fall short of God's requirement, we repent. We repent only when we are convinced that we have sinned. We just do not repent. Oh, forgive us, but did you admit that you have sinned? That is the requirement of repentance. We need to admit that we committed sin, or that we fall short of the requirement of God. We may have done our best, but our best is not best enough to reach the standard of the Lord. And by faith we believe, only by faith we believe God forgave us, because we haven't met the Lord face to face and listen and hear Him audibly right from His mouth that He forgive us. We just believe by faith, according to His word, that He has forgiven us when we repented of our sin. That is by faith, right? And how do we know for sure? Paano na natin malalaman? Paano natin masisigurado that we have received His forgiveness? That God has really forgiven us? Friends, when we receive forgiveness, we are able to forgive others. Christ's Spirit guarantees us that we are forgiven and give us that joy to forgive. When the Holy Spirit prevails in our hearts, give us that peace in us when people ask, I'm sorry, I missed that. And that's okay. You have that joy to forgive, because it's not because we are forced to forgive. It's because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bear fruit in our lives with peace, with joy, in that we have the peace and joy to forgive. When the brothers of Joseph acquired properties and decided to settle in Egypt, it implies that they have finally acknowledged that Joseph had forgiven them. And they hope that Joseph may not plan of taking revenge of their cruelty in the future. Now, Joseph showed his care. Oh, baka pakitang tao lang. Yan. But they were not thinking at first. They were placed in the best part of Egypt. That should be practical evidence that Joseph wants the best for them. He provided also for their food during the famine. Everyone were selling their properties, everyone were exchanging their valuable things, and everyone were becoming servants of Pharaoh because of the famine, but they were receiving free food supply. And that may have helped them to slowly accept that Joseph had forgiven them. But Jacob had one last request from Joseph. He asked Joseph to bury him in Canaan to show that he found favor in his eyes. That is the last practical request that Jacob wanted to see Joseph showing his respect to him. Let's read again verse 28 to 30. Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. When the time drew near for Israel to die, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt. But when I rest with my father, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried. I will do as you say," he said. Now remember when Abraham made his chief servant promise that he would take a wife for Isaac. Remember that incident before? He also asked him to put his hand under the thigh. It's kind of like he was, Jacob was sitting in the servant, or Joseph was put his hand under his thigh. Can you imagine that? Why would he do that? Maybe that's their way of taking oath or swearing. Today, you take oath by lifting your right hand up and something like that. 147 years on earth. Wow, Jacob had a long life. And at that time, he might have been thinking, "Wow, I am right. I am right to have Joseph as my favorite son." Because in his old age, when he was nearing to die, Jacob, sensed Joseph, that Joseph respected him so much. Joseph provided for his need when he was helpless. The severe famine, it made it more apparent that Joseph respected Jacob. The Lord allowed severe famine, like any other difficulties, struggles in life, to make it more apparent his blessing included in his command to respect parents. Let me repeat that. The Lord allowed the severe famine, like other difficulties and struggle of life, to make more apparent his blessings included in his command to respect parents. There's blessing in respecting parents. Obviously, Joseph benefited most from his faith in the Lord, and his faith in the Lord increased greatly when Joseph decided to give due respect to his father Jacob. The faith of Joseph was tested when his cruel brother sold him as a slave, and when he was in Egypt, he was accused of falsely. When he was imprisoned, his faith was tested, and he kept on trusting the Lord, but he was not shaken. He continued to trust the Lord, and that was how strong his faith was in the Lord. How did the faith of Joseph flourish? How did the faith of Joseph grow strong? Do you think that Joseph became the favorite son of Jacob for no reason? Was it because siya ang pinakagwapo? Or was it because he was the son of Rachel, and Rachel was Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah? Was that the very reason? For sure, Joseph had listened to the parental advice of his father so that Jacob trusted him so much. Now, children, listen carefully. You might be thinking, your brother, your sister, kasi gustong-gusto ka ni nanay, gustong-gusto ka ni tatay. Why? Kasi siya mabait sa kanyang nanay, tatay. Ikaw, hindi masyado mabait. Kulang ng bait. Many younger children won't dare their parents. The younger children won't dare to tell their parents about the escapades of their older brothers and sisters. Why? Now, remember, each of us, even older people, have been youth in their, have come from a younger generation. And what was your naughty behavior? What can you remember when you were younger? My daughter, our daughter, Laika would usually always tell me, itong mga kabataan ngayon, something like that. No, I don't say that. Why? Because your naughtiness cannot even reach the naughtiness I've been in my younger years. I've been very naughty person. Maybe I was not very naughty like the others, but silently, I have my own share of naughtiness that cannot be compared into this generation. Did you dip your finger in a cookie jar before? And the younger siblings saw you? Or have you, young people, I'm not encouraging you, but have you escaped at night and went to see a friend and returned at before daylight? But your younger siblings caught you in the act. Or did you watch videos that you do not want your mother to know you are watching them? You know that it's foolishness, a foolish video that you are watching when suddenly your mother come and you switch to another channel or switch to another search engine. When you do not want your mother to see what you are watching a foolish video. That's for sure. If parents learn about their shenanigans, the older children, or all children, children instinctively assume that they will be in trouble. Oh, baka malaman ito ni nanay, baka malaman to ni tatay. I'm in trouble. If your younger siblings, brothers, younger brother, younger sister, saw your mischievous rascality, older siblings, wag mong sabihin, they would warn us, or lagot ka sa akin. Have you done that before to your younger children? The brothers of Joseph were envious of him because their father gave him very beautiful robe. And Joseph, he had a beautiful robe. And Joseph was not just simple kind of person. He was also very proud of his robe. That was why when he was searching for his brothers going to Dathan, someone saw him and recognized him. Oh, your brother, because of his robe. He was the only one who has that beautiful robe in all Canaan. It was exceptional. And when he went to the field and when he go and helped his brother pasture their sheep, he would wear them. That special robe, expensive robe, he would wear them. And of course, it feels comfortable and warm. Have you been in pasture land before? Have you slept at night in the open fields? But that's tough. I had experience before. When we go and make balikotcha, when the farmers were cooking sugar cane, and we go there and make that white sweet thing. Do you know that? Have you had that experience? You know, I'm talking. Intindihan niya na yung balikotcha na. Ano, balikotcha. What is balikotcha? That white thing like a curve, sugary candy, kind of like. And so cold at night. You know that because mostly the farmers would they would cook sugar cane during December. That those are the coldest time of the year. And here is Joseph. He wore that beautiful robe, and while he was having his comfortable and sound sleep, his brothers might have observed, oh, tingnan mo yung yabang-yabang niyan, naghihilik pa tayo. We feel cold. How do we compare that in our generation. Your father, Jacob, bought a brand new winter jacket, so-called now, right? We want winter jacket. What was it? He bought a winter jacket for your brother, Joseph, Canada Goose jacket. How much is Canada Goose jacket? Average 1,000. 1,000 more or 1,000 less? 1,000 less. Your father, you also had second-hand jacket, but it's good. But your father Jacob bought it from thrift shop for how much? 1995. 1,000 to, bro. Sayo, 20 plus tax. Do you feel good with that? You feel good with that? Ito, ang yabang-yabang 17 years old. You are older than this brother. When children feel bad about their parents' decision, they intentionally disobey and do things that their parents prohibit them to do in rebellion to their parents and as their way of showing their indifference toward their parents. His brothers hated Joseph. They hated Joseph more. When Joseph reported their escapades, when he reported what they were doing to their father. It says in Genesis chapter 37, verse 2 and 3, let's read this together. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the son of Bilhah and the son of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. What was that bad report? Now, Joseph's brother may have thought, all of us, we are taking care of the sheep, but only Joseph had a beautiful robe. What shall we do? Okay, let's sell some of the sheep to reward ourselves. And nakita ni Joseph, magsumbong ka, lagot ka sa amin. He threatened Joseph. If he reported the rascality to their father, and Joseph may have been scared. But he remembered that Jacob advised him. He surely have learned from his father and memorized even what his father had taught him to do what is right. Fear not to do what's right. Fear to do what is wrong. So, he reported even if he was threatened by his father. And truly, they hated him more because of that. And that's why when they were planning to kill him, they remembered, oh, wala tayong mapapala dyan. Why not sell him? They sold him because that is how they wanted to have something for themselves. The wisest king, listen carefully, the wisest king of Israel, King Solomon, advised in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. Read this. Let's read this. A wise son brings joy to their father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Don't show your wiseness or intelligence by showing good grades. Good grade in school is proof that a student is wise somehow, but low grade in school is not totally foolishness. You want to know that you are wise? Children, ask yourself, masaya ba sa akin ang nanay ko? Masaya ba sa akin ang tatay ko? And then you can say, you're wise. It's not the grade that you have that make you totally, completely wise. Low grade can be a result of mistakes, and making mistake is not guaranteed, it's not equated with total foolishness. We cannot say that when you make mistake, you are a total foolish. No, it's not. If making mistake is foolishness, you know what it is? Everyone is foolish, right? Why? Because everyone makes mistake. So it's not foolishness to have mistake. We have all that. Judge it yourself. if to repeat the same mistake intentionally is foolishness. Interestingly, the Word of God equated wise and foolish children with what they bring to their parents. Am I wise? Am I foolish? Ask your mother, ask your father, ask your parents. Masaya ka ba para sa akin, nanay? Masaya ba ka ba para sa akin, tatay? Ask yourself, do my parents rejoice about me? If your parents are glad about you, it shows that you are a wise child to them. Now, Jacob, it was not needed for him to tell his other children and grandchildren that Joseph was the wisest among them, wisest son among them. Pharaoh appointed Joseph as ruler of Egypt because he discerned wisdom of Joseph, the wisdom of Joseph. He saw in Joseph the wisdom of God. It says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12 to 21, let's read this together. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power. By me, king reigns and rulers issue decrees just that are just. By me, prince govern and nobles, all who rule on earth. I love those who love me. Those who seek me, find me. With me, riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the path of justice, bestowing rich inheritance on those who love me and making their treasuries full. Now, if you are thinking of becoming a powerful someone someday and becoming rich someday, this is the passage that you want to memorize and understand and internalize and ask the Lord by faith that He will enable you to apply it in your life, to understand it fully, the meaning of it. Can you go back to verse 12? Instead of reading the first personal pronoun, I, me, mine, change it with wisdom so that we can understand it more. Let's read. Wisdom dwell together with prudence. Wisdom possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Wisdom hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are wisdom's. Wisdom have insight. Wisdom have power. By wisdom, king reign, and rulers issue decrees that are just. By wisdom, princes govern, and nobles, all who rule on earth. Wisdom, love those who love wisdom. Those who seek wisdom find wisdom. With wisdom are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. Wisdom fruit is better than fine gold. What wisdom yields surpasses choice silver. Wisdom walk in the way of righteousness, along the path of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love wisdom and making their treasuries full. If wisdom is far better than fine gold and silver, seek wisdom and you find wisdom. Seek wisdom at all costs. If this word of God is true, biblical, and godly, then I advise that you go try to seek wisdom. However, give all your effort to seek wisdom. Now, the wisdom of Joseph started when he sensed that reverent fear of the Lord. How did he show that he feared the Lord? He respected his father. How did he show that he respected his father? He was not scared of reporting the escapades of his brothers.
He is not scared of whatever threat that his brothers may have made toward him. He was just scared, scared to lie to his father. He hated evil. He hated not to lie to his father. In comparison, now this is, his sibling may felt superior over Joseph when they sold him as a slave. Sa palagay nila noon, tayong mas powerful, binta natin. Kayang-kaya natin yan si Joseph, wala yan si Joseph, binta na lang natin. They might have been thinking about that. But you know what? If the word of God is true, a wise son brings joy to his father, a foolish son brings grief to his mother, what happened to their father? He grieved, he mourned when that day he learned about Joseph, that Joseph was, they reported that he was killed by wild animals. He grieved, he mourned until he learned that Joseph was alive. That was a long, long time, almost 20 years of grieving. Didn't want to eat. And that is the foolishness of the brothers of Joseph, because they brought that grief to their father. The fear of the Lord, Joseph's fear of the Lord, paid dividends in the long run. His respect of his father has produced advantageous results. So ask the Lord for godly wisdom. Who is wisdom? What is wisdom? We need wisdom in all things we do. It's wise to obey Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, but to those whom God has called, believers, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Remember that. Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Truly? He is the power of God, the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is in us. So if we obey Christ, if we let Christ reign in our hearts, the wisdom of God prevails in us. The power of God prevails in us. Is that logical? Is that right? The Spirit of Christ that we receive when we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, the same Spirit that we receive is the same Spirit of the Lord who gave wisdom to Joseph. Do you agree? Do you agree? Jacob made Joseph swear to bury him in Canaan. Why? Did he doubt that Joseph would not obey him? No, he did not doubt. He had no doubt. He had confidence in Jacob. But why did he need to make Joseph swear that he would bury him in Canaan when he died? Jacob may have wanted his other children to learn how to take oath from Joseph when Joseph obeyed it after Jacob died, and that taking oath is no joke. Let's read again verse 31. He said, and swear to me, he said. Then Joseph swore to him, and Israel worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Why was that phrase added? What is the significance of it? Why did the Bible describe that he worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff? Now, when Jacob asked Joseph to swear that he would bury his remains in Canaan, his other sons were observant. They might have been listening. And Joseph swore to Jacob, that he will surely bury his father's remains in Canaan. And Jacob worshipped. Why? Jacob's heart was full of rejoicing with the assurance that Joseph will do what he asked of him. How do you rejoice? Would you go and run and yeah, and shout? Rejoicing, deep rejoicing, you would silently cherish that in your heart.
You do not want even others to share that with you because you want it yourself. That is the kind of rejoicing that Jacob had. Indirectly, Jacob implied that he trusted Joseph more than his other sons when he made him swear. He did not ask the other sons, swear to me that you will you make sure Joseph would do what he swore. No, he did not. It was enough for him that Joseph swear that he would bury his remains in Canaan. The brothers knew that Joseph respected Jacob more than any one of them. And the proof that Joseph had become greater than any of them, that was undeniable. Undeniable result of his faith in the Lord. They knew they were the ones who sold him. But what happened? The strength, the faith of Joseph in the Lord was so strong, so that he gave due respect to Jacob, their father. What is your take? Answer this personally. What is your view? What's your opinion about respect of parents? Is it a burden or is it a blessing? Here is a question. This is a question for genuine believers. For genuine believers, this is a question. Do you agree that respect of parents practically proves that Christians have faith in the Lord? Truly, when we Christians respect our parents, we practically show that we believe that the Lord knows what is best for us. Do you believe that the Lord is, if you believe that the Lord knows the best for you, we obey His command. That is our practical way of showing that we truly believe that the Lord knows what's best for us. We obey His command. Make sure you remember that the Lord commanded us to respect our parents, and He added a promise. Respecting of the command of to respect parents is the first command with a promise. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, let's read this together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Can you agree that the commandments of God, they were written primarily for believers, not for non-believers? The commandments, they were not written for non-believers. They were for believers. So don't tell the non-believer, the Bible says do not steal. They won't believe. They don't understand because it was not meant for them. It's by faith that we believe it's true. So if without faith, don't use the commandments of the Lord to scare non-believers. Because they don't understand. Only by faith that we understand and we believe the commandments of God are true. Think about it. Will you waste precious time giving command if you know that the person will ignore you? That person will ignore you, surely. Would you waste your time? Just and keep on insisting in commanding? Do infants understand adults? They may. I don't know. Think about this. Does it make sense to order an infant? Hey, infant, go and shovel the snow. I need to go. I need to walk. Maybe dog, they can shovel snow, but infants now. Similarly, God knows who trusts. God knows who obey Him. And Christ's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, empowers us to obey Him. When the Lord commanded believers to respect parents, it was His intelligent strategy to bless believers without favoritism. So that, I like to give more here because he is my favorite. No. Blessing is included when we respect our parents because we obey God who ordered us to respect. It's not our parents that we are obeying, it's God who gave us the command that we obey. Well, directly we obey our parents, but more importantly, we obey the God who gives the command. And this is a statement for genuine believers. Again, this is a statement for genuine believers. I need to emphasize that because you do not want to quote this statement to use it for unbelievers or challenge the statement for non-believers. Respect of parents, this is a practical proof that the Lord knows the best lifestyle for us believers. We believe that. Do you believe that? Respect of parents is most appreciated when parents grow old, when parents grow weak, when parents become destitute, when parents are deprived of the activities and ventures of youth. It is when respect of parents is most appreciated. When parents became vulnerable, when parents become liability and burden, respect for parents is glorious in the eyes of the Lord. I feel emotional in visiting older people in the hospital when they cannot help themselves, and here comes the children complaining. We have life too, you know. We need to see our children, so you know, we should take that old person to the home for the aged. That's tough. But Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21, it says, blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. When you grow old, when you have dementia, have you ever accepted the possibility that your children will place you in the home for the aged? Well, when grown-up children have their own family, taking care of aged parents becomes a burden. So instead of quarreling, sibling quarrel, who should take care? Ikaw. Ikaw ang paborito, ikaw mag-take care. Who should take care of their aged parents? Many adult children find it reasonable to take their aged parent to the home for the aged. At least, they've got excuse. And they do not need to blame themselves. Ikaw, hindi ipinabayaan mo si nanay, si tatay. Indeed, ikaw nga, hindi mo rin iasikaso, hindi mo nga binibisita si nanay. So, the siblings have this quarrel because of who should be taking care of their aged parents. So, to avoid that, okay, let's decide. Let's bring this aged person to the home for the aged. They'll just blame others if their parents are not taken care of. Hey, you nurse, we are paying you to take care of our parents. Hey, you home for the aged, you. We see that, we read that all the time in the news. When older parents got in trouble in the home for the aged because they were not taken care of, and children would sue and even get money because of that. Anyway, is it biblical for children to put their parents in the home for the aged? The Lord Jesus warned Peter in John chapter 21, verse 18 to 19. Let's read this together. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. The Lord didn't assure Peter. Peter was his closest friend, inner circle. He didn't assure Peter to have this luxurious old age life that most people wish to have. Well, John had. Actually, John grew old in he was exiled in Patmos Island. Everyone would dream of retirement. It would be good, but we cannot control that. We may wish to have good retirement, luxurious old age kind of life. But in here, Christ viewed the trouble awaiting Peter as means to bring glory to God. Likewise, if parents cannot get necessary care for their children, listen, at least parents will bring glory to God with the right attitude about their concerns, about their trouble. You have that right attitude, you bring glory to God. Of course, it's a real concern for children to take care of aging parents. Do you agree? Are you concerned now? Of course, of course. It's also a real concern for aging parents not to be taken care of. They are thinking, oh, pabayan kaya ako ng aking manak when I grow old. Both these difficult situations, they are God's instrument to reward believers. The Lord rewards children for their care of their aging parents. But the Lord, if aging parents are not taken care of, the Lord will also reward the aging parents for the right attitude towards their struggle. It can bring glory to God. Joseph had a great life. It is a practical proof that of the added blessing in the Lord's command to respect parents. Joseph respected his father Jacob so much. And the phrase that says Israel worship as he leaned on top of his staff, that was a picture of indescribable gladness in the heart of Jacob or Israel for Joseph. He just cannot express it. That is the simplest way he can express, but you can sense that there was this gladness, overflowing gladness in his heart. When Joseph swore an oath to bury his father in Canaan, it was a sincere resolve of care for his father's need, even when he was old, even when he was helpless. If that was not enough proof of Joseph's respect and care for his father Jacob, Joseph had never asked his brothers to help him to share in the burden of caring for his father, for their father. Actually, he even provided for the needs of his brothers and their families. Such is most admirable lifestyle of believer that Joseph had lived. You want to know an admirable lifestyle of believer, read through chapter 37 to chapter 50 of Genesis. You will see the lifestyle of Joseph, and you may learn from that. What is the secret of Joseph's great life? Let's read. Faith in God, respect of parents, and wisdom. Be sure to have that three if you want to have great life. Pray that God make your faith grow. Pray that you grow in your respect of your parents. And pray that wisdom will grow. Wisdom, Christ is the wisdom of God, meaning to have wisdom prevail in us, let Christ prevail in us. And you will enjoy great life, that's for sure. Shall we stand up and search our hearts? Have I been respectful to my parents? Just ask yourself. Perhaps your parents are gone, but ask the Lord. If you have not been respectful to your parents, ask the Lord to forgive you, and that to take away that burden, that guilt feeling of not respecting your parents. And if your parents are still alive, ask the Lord to empower you to give due respect to your parents. Only by faith that we can respect our parents, because respect for parents is God's command, and godly commands needs godly effort. Remember that.